This morning I'm going to do something a little different for the gospel. I'm going to invite the children to come up and sit in the front pew. And I'm going to skip the first portion of the gospel today. That deals, why don't you sit on the pew, and then we can do something together, okay? All right. The first portion of that gospel deals with divorce. That's an important subject, but for today, if you notice the cover of our bulletin, oh, some of the bulletins anyway, has something to do with children, and therefore I'm going to start the gospel today with in the 10th chapter of Mark, beginning with the 13th verse, where Mark tells us that people were bringing children to Jesus that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. You know what that means? They were ticked off. They were saying, kids, get out of here. We don't want you here. You're noisy. You're restless. You don't sit there quiet like everybody else. We don't want you here. But Jesus said to them, send the little children to me, because of such are the kingdom of God. And Jesus was very angry with the disciples because they were sending the children away and he wanted them. And he said to the adults who were there, he said, you know, unless you receive the kingdom of God like a little child, you'll never enter the kingdom of God. That's the good news. And then Jesus after that said, Mark says that Jesus went to the children and he held them and he laid his hands on them and he blessed them. And that was the good news, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Today, you may be seated. Today I'm going to teach you a new song. Would you like to sing a new song? Okay, we'll let them help us, okay? Would you hold these for me? Hold this for me? Could you do that? I can't see that far. Why don't you stand up beside me? There you go. All right. I'll sing a phrase, and then you sing the same thing. We'll just keep repeating each other, okay?
My friend is good for me. My friend is good for me. I like him and he likes me. I like him and he likes me.
Okay, that's the refrain, and we'll do that several times. Do you have any friends? Do you? Do you have friends? How many friends have you got? Five friends? You've never counted? Wow.
I counted my
friends. Did you count five of them? Fantastic. Well, today is all about being a friend to friends. Jesus wants us to be friends, right? So, let's do... I'm going to have to get down here. Yeah, thank you.
A friend can be short or tall.
A friend can be short or tall.
A friend can be just anyone at all.
A friend can be just anyone at all.
My friend is good for me. I like him and he likes me. Together we laugh and dance around.
Together we laugh and
we tickle our toes in the soft green ground.
Tickle our toes in the soft green ground.
My friend is good for me. I like him and he likes me.
A friend is someone who will play with you.
Friend is someone who will play with you.
When you're happy or when you're blue.
When you're happy or when you're blue.
Together we share our juice and bread.
Together we share our juice and bread.
Oh, wait. There we are.
We're so happy when everyone's fed.
We're so happy when everyone's fed.
Well, friend, my friend is good for me. I like her and she likes me. Even if you go away for a while, your friend will greet you back with a smile. Even if you go away for a while, your friend will greet you back with a smile. My friend is good.
Well, today, I'll give you a choice. You can either go back and sit with Mom, or you can stay right there. decisions. Because today, I'm going to talk about my very best friend. Okay? In some ways, this is a difficult sermon in that when I talk about my friend, I sometimes get a little emotional. He was a member of the, or not a member, he was a friend of the family before I was even born. I was told that he came to my baptism and even held me for my baptism. And throughout my life, he seemed to be one who was there. I remember the first time I went fishing with him and caught a sunfish, one of those little bitty things. You know, they aren't worth much of anything. And I was kind of disappointed. But he danced a jig. He was just as happy as could be. And then when my favorite grandmother passed away, she was, we lived 2.25 miles from where she lived. And so I often stayed with her. And when she died, I was just plain devastated. And he came and he sat with me and he held me. And while I was crying, and he reminded me that Grandma would actually have a better place in heaven. And that one day I would get to meet her again there. And it really made me feel a whole lot better. My friend was the kind of person you could confide in. I could share absolutely anything, things I couldn't share with my parents, things I didn't even share with my wife for many years. My friend was the kind of person who kept those confidences and was such a loving part of my life. I confirmed my faith when I was 13 years old. And he came to my confirmation and even laid his hands on top of the pastor's hands when I was confirmed. And, you know, it was one of those incredible times when, now, I don't know, this church has a Danish background, right? Were these the happy Danes or the sad Danes? The happy Danes. Fantastic. My church, well, was German in background, and I would say I would put them in the sad German category, because you were not supposed to crack a smile at certain times, like when you were confirmed. That was serious business. And when you took communion, serious business. And I was so happy when I was confirmed, I could hardly hold that smile back. And then I looked up and saw his face. And he was grinning from ear to ear and gave me a wink, and I lost it. I didn't laugh out loud, but I was not in favor of some of the little ladies in the church. I can tell you that. Shortly after that event, I went to the only church camp that I got to go to as a child. Now, it was a difficult situation because my little youngest sister, I had a younger sister born 2 days before I left for camp. Didn't get to see her because back in those days, you know, the hospitals wouldn't let kids in. And I went off to camp. I had stayed with relatives all my younger life. But, you know, when you go away and you don't know anybody, I was really devastated, lonely. And I was, you know, big boys don't cry. I wanted to cry. I really did. And then that evening, they had a campfire. And there was a lake. And across the lake, there was a men's choir, chorus, a quartet, that sang the old rugged cross as a cross was floated across the lake, surrounded by candles, and lit by those candles. And, you know, it gives me goosebumps just remembering that. But I was so alone. And the pastor, Pastor Tex, I remember him, because he had such a powerful sermon that made me think, you know, maybe I should become a pastor. That was the beginning of that. But it was time to go back into the cabin, and I really just wanted to stay out there, but I couldn't. And my friend came and sat with me. Amazing. Came and sat with me, put his arm around me and said, "You're not alone. I'm with you." Yeah, sometimes it breaks me up thinking about it. But I got through all of that. And then the next event I want to tell you about is my marriage. Soon I celebrated our 50th anniversary, June 3rd, this year. And back 4 years before that, my best friend introduced us, something for which I was eternally grateful. And when we found out at the last minute that Sue's father could not come to our wedding, when I looked up to see my bride coming down the aisle on his arm, even now, it breaks me up. It was a powerful moment to know that he cared enough to be there for us at that time. Now, many of you may think that I was a genius in my school days and that I whizzed right through seminary. I want to break that illusion right now because my first semester in seminary, I almost flunked out. It was such a change. We had a friend who had a member of one of our churches who had been a doctor and decided to go to seminary. And I talked to him after he had been ordained. And I said, "Well, how was it compared to your medical training?" He said, "Seminary training was 10 times harder." But he said, "Medicine, you know, everything is pretty exact. You know what you're doing, sort of." At least they thought they did. Not so sure all the time, but you know how that goes. So my friend actually came to seminary and visited with me and helped me see what was really important to study. I was trying to cover absolutely everything. On the first day of seminary, of each class, the professor gives you this 2, maybe 3-page, single space, small print list of all the books that you're supposed to read. And that's each professor. And they highlight those that, well, you really should read these. And I was so overwhelmed, I didn't know where to even begin. My friend helped me with that. Another event that I have to share is that after we had been married for a while, we discovered that we were not going to be able to have children. And that was a heartbreaker. But our friend came and sat with us, prayed with us, and encouraged us to go to adoption. Because he said, "You know, there's some child out there who really needs you." Well, we hadn't thought of that. And so, in the end, we ended up adopting 2 children. And It was a fantastic experience for us. Challenging. It was one of those times where my wife said she prayed for patience after the first one. And when the second one came, she stopped praying for patience. Because he really required it. There was a period of time when I went through a period in my ministry where I approached burnout. I was in a congregation where we had, when I started there as a senior pastor, we had 700 and some members. And by the time we left, we had increased that from 700 to over 1,200. It was one of those rapid growth periods where I was going night and day. I had a part-time assistant, a part-time secretary, and a part-time janitor. And somebody on the church council said, well, you wouldn't need all that help if you just organize your time better. That's what I see. Burnout reached that epic portion. And one of our doctors said, you know, I really want a spiritual counselor in my practice. Would you consider joining us? Jumped at it. Thought, fantastic. So for a couple of years, I did spiritual counseling in his practice. And then, during that period of time, you know how something doesn't fit? It doesn't, it's not right? I was really feeling like that burnout period. And my friend came to visit us. And he said, you know, there's an old story. Some of you may have heard the story. It's about a man who was suffering from neck pain, from severe headaches, and from a dizziness. And he went to his doctor, and the doctor said, this looks serious, but I have to run a bunch of tests. You're going to have to go into the hospital for that. And so he tried to get into the hospital, but the hospital for those tests was full. They couldn't take him for another week. In the meantime, he was so miserable from this condition that he decided he didn't have any decent clothes to be buried in. That sounds funny to us, but he wanted, you know, to look nice in the casket. So he went to a men's shop and he ordered the clothes. And as the salesman was measuring his neck, he said, you need a size 16. And he said, no, I don't need a size 16. I've always worn a size 14, and I'm not going to change now. Well, the salesman said, you know, I'll sell you the 14, but I can promise you this. You're going to have a sore neck, severe headaches, and occasional dizziness. And my friend said, Larry, maybe that's your problem. Maybe you're trying to do something you weren't intended to do. You know, this could happen. It's a story for every member of every church, every congregation, too. And sometimes we try to do things the way we've always done them, and something doesn't work, and then we say, well, we've still got to stick with it. Sometimes I know that for me, I had to think seriously about going back into the parish ministry, which thankfully I did, or I wouldn't be in front of you today. My friend was also there for us when we found out that we were pregnant. Two adopted children, 5 years later, and all at once we found out Sue was pregnant. All the way home from the doctor's, of course, we laughed. You know the story about Sarah laughing when she found out she was pregnant? That was us. Unfortunately, a couple of months later, we found out it was not going to be. And my friend came and wrapped us and our two children in his arms. and held us and wept with us over our loss. That's the kind of friend who has been with us every place we've gone. He has visited every church that I have served. In fact, did you know that he's been here? In fact, he's here today. My best friend, Jesus, has never left us and never wants to leave you either. You are not alone. He is with you, and he promises, "Lo, I will be with you always." I forgot to tell you that he had died several years before, 2,000 years before, that when he died a painful death, not just for me, but for you too. And then he rose from the dead to guarantee that you and I will have eternal life also. That's my best friend, and I hope that you will allow him to be your best friend. Because every time you hear his word read, every time you pick up the scriptures, every time you sing one of those songs, you are hearing his voice. Maybe sounds a little more like an alto or a soprano or a bass or a tenor. I don't know what the voice sounds like. Scott spoke the voice of Jesus today for us too. He's there. He's not out there somewhere. He's here. And when he says to you, maybe through me or one of the others who are helping with communion, "This is my body. I'm giving it to you. This is my blood. I shed it for you." He's really there. And he wants to live inside of you. When you come to communion today, my prayer for you would be that you would open up your heart and say, "Come, Lord Jesus, live in me." One of our friends wrote a song years ago that really tells that same story. You may know it, and I'd be surprised if you don't. It's 732 in the ELW. "I was there to hear your morning cry. I'll be there when you are old. I rejoice the day you were baptized to see your life unfold. I was there when you were but a child, with a faith to search you well. In a blaze of light you wandered off to find where demons dwell. When you heard the wonder of the word, I was there to cheer you on. You were raised to praise the living Lord, to whom you now belong. If you find someone to share your time, and you join your hearts as one, I'll be there to make your verses rhyme from dusk till rising sun. In the middle ages of your life, not too old, no longer young, I'll be there to guide you through the night, complete what I've begun. When the evening gently closes in, and you shut your weary eyes, I'll be there as I have always been, with just one more surprise. I was there to hear your morning cry. I'll be there when you are old. I rejoice the day you were baptized to see your life unfold." May Christ be with us. May Christ be within us. May Christ live, because he has given us himself. Amen.